flags on the walls. I love that. You know, it's not unusual to see an American flag in a church, but a church that really understands the global church. You know, I see Indonesia. Oh, that was my left hand. That's a big no-no in Indonesia. The Indonesian flag is over here, the bottom, furthest over here on the left. And then some of you may remember when I came and shared about my work in Bangladesh. And that's over there, the green one with the red circle in it. And then the Uganda flag is where Leah has previously served up there. It's the one that has the weird bird in the middle of it. Papua New Guinea's flag is over here. I'm just pointing out flags now, but it's really cool to see a church that really seeks to make Jesus known all throughout the world and here at home. So it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Another thing that you know, your call to worship this morning was Psalm 66. And it just reminded me of Psalm 67. So I'm going to read that for you right now. It is, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the nations praise you. Let the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump into kind of what we have this morning. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here, to stand in front of a people that is seeking to make your name famous. Lord, I just ask that you would bless us this morning, that you would bless our time, that you would just that Cornerstone would praise you, O God. The people of Indonesia would praise you. Lord, I just in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is I'm not a pastor. I'm not even really a missionary. I'm a pilot. And a mechanic. So it's nice being here where people understand that we use our skills to praise the Lord and to make his name known. I am a missionary pilot, so I guess I am a missionary, but I'm not going to be exegeting any passages because I'm just not qualified. And I feel like, oh, maybe I should have just prayed a whole ton and then put my finger in a passage, and then we all would know Jesus at the end of this, you know. Alas, I didn't do that. So, what I'm going to be doing this morning, I'm going to be sharing about what we're doing in Papua, what you guys are honestly a part of, in your prayers and your support of us. I am here to kind of give you an update in my mind, and our part of our ministry, while it is flying into cool places and supporting missionaries, a big part of it is actually being a window through which you guys can see the work that's going on around the world. And although my entire life people have said, you make a better door than a window, I'm going to try my best this morning. So, I am larger than Pastor Danny, but I like to think I'm just fat enough that I don't look tall. I'm just tall enough that I don't look fat. So, anyway, all right. So, I just want to start off this morning a bit with the power of prayer. When we moved to Merauke, you can go to the next slide, I think. Yes, okay, good. Merauke is down there. You see where the airplane is? It's down there at the very bottom of Papua. Now, Papua New Guinea is what everyone always assumes that we are, because Papua New Guinea is where a lot of missionaries go. And it is the same island, but you can see Papua New Guinea is on the east side of that border. Basically, it's off screen here. We're in Papua, Indonesia, which is where, it's part of Indonesia, which is a totally different country than Papua New Guinea. But it's the same island. So we can wave at people in Papua New Guinea, but never to set foot on that soil. So when we arrived there, it was just after COVID, 2021. We arrived January 2021. And the people there had been, that local church had kind of shrunk back post-COVID. Kind of to give you an idea of the things that Papua is like is that you can't really get anywhere without an airplane. You can walk there. You can walk there and it'll take 6 weeks. You can't drive there. Some places where we are, you can take a boat. It'll take maybe a week. Or you can take an airplane. It'll take less than an hour. So the government put a lot of restrictions on air travel, and it didn't allow a lot of the pastors to get interior. So the church kind of suffered from that. And when I arrived, I started looking around. I basically arrived and became the manager of our base in Merauke. And so as I'm looking at the situation, I didn't know what to do. And so I was, oh man, like what is going on? It seems like, you know, the work is slowing down and it's almost coming to a stop. And so Leah had asked our friend to make a painting for us. And on this painting, it was it's wheat. It's just wheat. We're from, I claim Kansas, and it's the wheat state. You know, it's like the breadbasket of the world. Wheat goes out from there to everywhere. Although you know gluten freeers are kind of cutting into our business. But on that wheat field, on that like shock of wheat, it has a verse. Just the second half of John 4:35, but I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." And the second part of that verse is, "Pray to the God of the harvest to send workers into that harvest." And so we just moved into this new house. We hadn't found a place for that painting yet. Leah thinks she has a spot for it, but I hold the drill, and I don't think she's right. So it was in my office. It was just sitting there sideways. So I, you know, do my devotionals in the morning and just kind of staring off into space as I'm praying. And then I see that painting, and it says, you know, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And the Lord, you know, it's His harvest. He's the Lord. And He's responsible, you know. In any farming situation, it's like, okay, whoever planted it, you know, it's theirs. So they're responsible for it, you know. They get the increase, they get the workers, we get a wage, right? We get a wage at the end. But he gets the grain at the end of the day, and we get a wage. And so I just started praying, Lord, okay, send workers into the harvest, send workers into the harvest. And so I just want you to bear that in mind as we go this morning, that when we got there in 2021, basically there wasn't anything going on. And I'm going to take you around Papua, all the places that we serve. For the most part, we have five pioneer missionaries that we serve. Serving with MAF is a lot like a mutual fund, like an ETF, if you're thinking about investing, you know, a mutual fund, you give your money to the mutual fund and they're invested in a ton of things. MAF is like that, right? So we are serving new tribes, we're serving Wycliffe, we're serving the local church, we're doing all these things. And so really your mission dollar is very diversified when you give it to MAF. You know, it's not like a single stock. You know, single stocks, those are unwise. But the mutual funds, hey. Dave Ramsey, you know. Anyway, so that's kind of how I think of it, and the privilege that we have to invest our ministry, our lives, our time into so many different ministries. And so you'll be able to see a lot of that this morning. So yeah, as we go around and we show kind of the cool things that are going on, I want to stop and say why, you know, answer the question why, and begin there. Well, like I said, Papua is very isolated. If a church is planted interior, You know, a lot of times we want to say, okay, it's a church, you know, it's planted. And we think, you know, that's the case, especially, you know, in the States, you can plant a church, it becomes self-sustaining and it kind of takes off. But we have a lot of advantages that smaller churches. Oh, does it work? Oh, laser. All right. We have a lot of advantages. We have dozens and dozens of resources, or hundreds, thousands of resources that are written in English by native English speakers, commentaries, you know, all these things that you can, get and you can learn. But the interior church in Papua is very isolated. They are not, they don't have the benefit of that. Not only that, but they don't have the benefit of having another pastor that can come alongside them. A lot of times these pastors, interior, are the only pastor within 2 days' journey of them. And so they're very isolated in many ways, and it's easy for them to fall back into the old patterns and thoughts of the world. And for them, that's animism and things like that. So MAF's mission, or vision, sorry, is to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. And the church, as a church, we want to see people changed by the love of Christ, right? Like that, I mean, that's a very clear vision just for the church. But MAF is specific in that we want to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. And so the people that we're going to see today and hear from today are very isolated. And so with that in mind, we're going to take a trip. We're going to go to Kotiak, all right? And Kotiak is, go back just 1 second. Right there, that's Kotiak. So, okay, now we can go ahead. So Kotiak is served by Wycliffe, a single Korean lady who is a Wycliffe Bible translator. And she's been serving there for close to 20 years now, and she just finished the New Testament. You can advance. It's, isn't that beautiful? Oh man, I have such a hard life. So that's actually her. So we actually are able to park in her front yard. That's her house. And this lady, guys, had no experience building a house. Number one. When she became a believer at 15, she was kicked out of her house in Korea because she lived in a Buddhist house. And so they said, you have to go find someplace else to live. And when she wanted to, when she said she was going to become a missionary, they made her leave the country. She couldn't, so she had to flee to the UK, and she went to school and became a Wycliffe Bible translator. And she has translated the whole New Testament at this point. And I just asked her, I said, Musik, do you want to, you can go ahead to the next slide. Do you want to continue and translate the Old Testament? And she said, well, if the people want me to, I'll do it. You know? And so her heart is to serve the people. She wants to do it, but she only wants to do it if they will do it with her. So this picture here, this is Sid and Nola, and they are with JARS, which is Wycliffe's aviation division, basically. And they have a cool ministry where they were partnered up with her like 15 or 16 years ago to be her prayer support in country. And they lived all the way on the North Coast. They'd never visited her. And so we had the chance and the opportunity to take them in to visit her for the very first time. And this is Musik. And so she had no experience building a house, living interior, any of that. And she said, you know what, these people, they need to hear the word of God in their own language. And she always thought that she was going to go to Africa because she had a dream when she was 16 or 17. She was surrounded by people with black skin. And she said, well, that must mean the Lord wants me to go to Africa. And so she started to pursue that and try and go to Africa. And the doors kept closing for her to go to Africa. And this door opened for her to go to Indonesia. And she's like, okay, fine, I'll go to Indonesia. Well, she ended up in Indonesia. And then she got to Papua, and lo and behold, people with black skin. And she's like, oh, this was the Lord's plan. So I always think that's really funny. Okay, moving on. So we're going to go from Kotiak here. We're going to take a quick jump up here to a place called Echi, where people are serving in Homong. And this is a new tribe's family. They've been seeking to go interior for the last 8 years. They've been trying to find a way to get interior to work with the people and to share the gospel with them. So this is Jeremy Walker, his teammate Kim. He's also Korean. And then this is Nelson and Johannes. Nelson and Johannes, they're... Nelson works with new tribes, and he was born in the tribe, and he came to believe in Christ and has been working with them, helping them kind of build. And he goes on a bunch of build trips. You'll actually see him later in another slide where he's helping them build. But Johannes, and we'll share about him later as well, is a local church leader, and he's a really great guy. But right now, we're talking about Homong. And the Walkers and Kims are just getting started building there. And they hope to move in by the end of the year. I think right now, Jeremy has just brought his family into their house. You can go to the next slide. And this is, I flew over, this is the most recent photo I have. We flew over, it's really hard to see, I'm sorry. But you can kind of see the outline of their house right here. I probably should have zoomed in on that, huh? But it's in a swamp. So they have to build the house on a platform. And so that's the platform that they built, and that took them about 2 months to get that far. And now the house is at the point where Jeremy feels okay bringing his family in. So now he'll be there for like a full month building their house interior. It's quite an ordeal. Now we're going to move on to Poiwai. And we're going to take a long journey. We're going from here in Echi/Homong. All the way up to Poiwai. Now, Poiwai, I feel bad for these guys. They, they have been called by the Lord to serve on a tropical island, on a beach with some of the most pristine beaches and reefs. It's just, oh man, I don't know. But they are, and here's Nelson again. You see him there in the background. This is Jim Job and Eliezer Stevens, and they are currently trying to build, and you can pray for them. They've run into some land issues. The guy who originally said that he was going to sell them land to build their house apparently didn't have all of his brothers on board to be able to sell that land to them, and so they are now stuck. They have a ton of some building supplies, and they have no place to build. So they are seeking to serve the people of Kururu, where it's just a beautiful island. They are just starting. We've just basically been getting them in to start build. The next slide, we're going to come down here from the north coast down to a place called Otodemo. Now, Otodemo is on a river, and Ewan and Maggie Borsma, they've been here for several years, but again, they were shut out because of COVID. I think they were put on a blacklist, all sorts of things, but they were just recently been able to re-enter. And they're using New Tribes curriculum called the Firm Foundations curriculum. This is a really cool curriculum because, you know, New Tribes tries to avoid doing not ethical teaching, but moral teaching. You know, you go in, you say, hey, you shouldn't do that, you should do that, you should, you know, do da da. And then later on, 20 years down the road, you say, hey, why don't you do this? Well, I don't know, the missionary told us that we shouldn't do that, and so we don't do that because the missionary told us. So they really have seen the fruit from that in not a good way, and they've decided that they won't do moral teaching, but they will just teach the Bible. The problem with that is that you are in an area for 7 years before you know the language well enough to be able to translate the Bible and share the gospel. And so they see a lot of really difficult things, really terrible things in that time as they, you know, that they could just say, hey, don't do that. Why are you doing that? That's not good. Don't, you know. but they abstain from that. But the firm foundations, they translate, I think, 70-some stories from the Bible, because a lot of these tribes are oral storytelling cultures. And so when you share the story, they translate, you know, creation of Adam, the creation of Eve, and they go through all these stories up to the cross. And they share, and the church, every time they do this, a church is born. People, their eyes are open. The Lord works, and their eyes are open. And they're able to come to know Christ. But and this is the story I always share when I talk about firm foundations. Every time I've heard this, someone going through this curriculum, whenever they get to the creation of Eve, they always share, the creation of Eve. And men from the tribe come up to them and say, wait a second, so my wife, she's like, you know, just as valuable as I am, and like men? Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, man. So that means I probably, like, shouldn't beat my wife, and, like, I should treat her well. It's like, yes, that is true. That, you know. And so that's just a perfect example of how the Word of God speaks to them. You know, you don't need to give moral teaching. You need to give them the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach them. And so, yeah, they're seeing, you know, bondage being broken just by translating the Bible and sharing the stories of God's Word with them. And then there's discipleship that comes later with that, obviously. But it's amazing. And then Maggie Boersma is they're out right now. They're up in one of the bigger cities because she's going to have a baby soon. So you can be praying about that. Next slide. So now we're going to come from here all the way up here. We're going to take the 2.5-hour trip all the way down here to Saman. And Saman is a place that is very dear to my heart. This is a place that we visited and done a lot of things. So, and this is the crew. This is the Saman crew. You have the Bruces in there. You have Carrie Bruce and Sam Bruce. They're with New Tribes. And you have teachers and nurses right here. There's a doc and two doctors here who serve in Saman. The next slide. So these are the teachers and nurses that are serving with Yepe Hape, which is a ministry of a man in Indonesia, who has felt a desire to serve the people of Papua. A very wealthy man. He started, I think, 9 schools and clinics in Papua, and we had the opportunity to take him in. He wanted to open another one. We had the opportunity to take him into Saman to see, and a lot of the walking around and seeing the village, that in our video, that was Saman. We had the opportunity to take him in to see if Saman was a suitable place for a school and a clinic. Now, a lot of these kids in interior Papua have no access to education or healthcare. And the government has put schools there, but teachers will come in to test the kids and not do anything else. So they don't do any teaching. In other words, they just test them. And, these kids are dumb, you know, because, look at their test scores. And of course, we know that just isn't true. And so this man puts schools in these areas so that, you know, they are able to have access to a future that they can determine for themselves. You know, they can live in the same way that people have lived for thousands of years, or they can choose to do something else. But before, the choice wasn't there for them. They didn't have any other opportunity. But now they do. And so, just like I shared in the video, you know, these kids will have the gospel in their heart language, and they'll be equipped to go out of their village and share it with other areas. And maybe even the world. Maybe we have the next leader of Papua in these schools. But they, so anyway, we took this man into Saman, and he met with the village elders, and he said, okay, what do you guys want? And they said, well, we want a school. And he said, okay, well, when do you want it? And they said, now, like tomorrow. He said, okay, sure. Snapped his fingers. In 2 months, there will be a school and a clinic here. Well, of course, at MAF, we're like, oh, okay, how? You know, like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of buildings that need to be built, a lot of materials that need to be flown in, a lot of things need to happen for that to happen. And he said, well, whatever needs to happen, make it happen. And so MAF, I'm really proud, our national staff really stepped up and went into town and started buying supplies for the school and working to get this going. The missionary interior, Sam Bruce, built basically 3 buildings out of the swamp and a clinic, a school, and a dorm for the teachers and the nurses to live in. And basically out of nothing, in 2 months, the school has started. And they're in class right now and learning at the end of the video. Those are the kids. They were singing in English. I don't know if you could tell they were singing in English. It was funny because when we went in to visit, they were singing in English, and we didn't know what they were like. What are they singing, you know? And so after, like, hearing it, because they were practicing a lot, you know, after hearing it 10 to 20 times, we're like, oh, it's good to see you here with me. But one of the missionary sons actually attends the school, and he didn't know he was singing in English, you guys. He was just going around, it's good to see you here with me. And it's like, what are you singing? He's like, I don't know, it's Indonesian. No, it's English, you know? Like, what are you... So, so that's a privilege. And all these teachers and nurses, first and foremost, they want to see these kids come to know Christ. And they're there, a lot of them. So how he recruits teachers is he owns this wealthy man, he owns universities and hospitals. And so he says, okay, I will pay for your education. You can come to my university tuition free if you give, 5 years post-grad to serve in Papua as a teacher. And they're like, okay, sign me up. And they come, and a lot of them just come because it's a pretty good deal. And then they stay. So all these teachers have actually stayed past when their contract ran out and are now serving because they have the vision. They want to see Papua educated, and they want to give them health care. You can go to the next slide. Oh, yeah, there. So this is a clinic, and this woman, we arrived for our vision trip. Each year we go into a village and spend a weekend to kind of see, what's going on in there. And this young woman had cut her foot with an axe. And, 2 weeks before we had gotten there, there was no clinic there. There was no, I don't know what she would have done, honestly. But there was a clinic here. And so they knew, oh, let's take her downriver. There's a clinic. And so they took her in. And here, you can't really see Dr. Ziona. These are Dr. Ziona's hands. And that's the story I'll tell next. But this is Grace, and she's learning how to stitch a foot. She's learning how to stitch that clothes and how to care for the people. But a day before we left to come to America, our son was running and he just fell, hit his head on a corner and split his head open. And I was like, man, I wish we were in Saman, because they have a good clinic there. Now we have to go to this government hospital that's all dirty and stuff. But this clinic, man, it's really top notch. So part of me was like, man, I wish we were in the village. We could go get some good health care, which is crazy, right? So that's the kind of things that's happening. Also, I want to share about Dr. Ziona. So Dr. Ziona, she was a doctor at a government clinic downriver from Saman. And she was serving there, and she's a believer, which is something that needs to be said, because 90% of people in Indonesia are Muslim. But she was a believer, and she had been serving interior Papua with the government clinic for 12 years already. And getting people to serve with her was like pulling teeth. You know, she'd say, okay, we need to go upriver. We need to, you know, go do clinics at these other areas, you know, healthcare and stuff. And they're like, ah, why do we have to do healthcare? You know, let's just stay here and hang out. And so she just got fed up with it. And right about when she was about to quit and leave, this clinic, Siloam Clinic, started. And the doctor that was in charge of it for all of Papua came in and said, hey, will you join our clinic? And one morning, the doctor was going to come in and get her answer of whether she was going to stay with the government clinic or, you know, quit and leave the area or join Siloam in Saman. And she said kind of her fleece that she threw out was, okay, if the plane lands, because it was really crummy weather that day, really bad weather. And she said, okay, if the plane lands, then I'll join Siloam. And I was like, man, I'm glad you didn't tell me that before I came, because I might, but I, you know, I found a hole, you know, Lord provided a hole to get down through the clouds and in the rain, and I was able to land. And so she landed, and then she gave this is my yes, I want to join with Siloam. And so now she is, Saman actually is the only clinic in all of Papua that has a doctor. And she has a trained doctor there, which is a lot, you know, like, I wish I was in Saman when my kid falls and hits his head, right? You know, there's a really great doctor who loves the Lord. So that is Yepe Hape, this SLH Schools and Siloam. You can be praying for them and just the work that they're doing. Next slide, we have Sam Bruce, who is translating the Bible. This is I consider this a very holy picture. Because that is God's word on the screen, and that's five men who are working to bring the word of God into a new language that's never been translated before, which just gives me chills when I think about the fact that, you know, when they type that out, you know, it's really crazy. You know, they come and they pray and they say, okay, you know, Lord give us the, you know, the eyes and the insight to be able to do this. And they're translating God's word, which is just crazy. So Sam and their teammates, the Bruces and the Smiths, have been in Saman now for 7 years. But of that 7 years, they've only spent, I think, 6 weeks in the village together. Because for one reason or another, one of them has to leave and go. You know, there was COVID, and one of them lost their visa and had to leave. And so they've basically been serving in Saman, in the interior village, by themselves for 7 years. But they're just now getting to the point where in January, they hope to start the Firm Foundations teaching. And what Sam has been doing is he's been teaching, you can go to the next slide, Pak Simpson. Now, I didn't ask him to, like, look up into the sky and... But doesn't he look like a visionary? I mean, come on. So this is a faithful believer in Jesus. And the Bruces and the Smiths are only there because he went out seeking missionaries. He's like, we need the Word of God to come into Saman. Who will bring the Word of God? Who will do this? Who will do this? And so he kept coming up to the town where, you know, all the missionaries are. Said, hey, will you come to Saman? Will you come to Saman? Will you come? And finally, the Bruces and the Smiths are like, yep, let's go, you know. And so they went down there. But Sam now is teaching him through the Firm Foundations. He's a faithful believer in Jesus, but no one's ever taught him how to communicate the gospel to people. And maybe he doesn't have, you know, we were talking about resources. You know, we are resource rich. We have so many different commentaries and if you don't like the way this guy teaches it, you know, if you actually want, you know, this theological view or this soteriology or, you know, blah, 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 you can go to this guy. And, you know, he's got it, you know, and so there's all sorts of different, in Asmat, which is the language, they have nothing. They don't even have the Bible. They don't even have the Word of God. And so, you know, Simpson has been seeking out someone that will come and translate it. And so he will be the one who actually carries the gospel to his village, because Sam and Andy Smith have been teaching him, discipling him, going through the firm foundations so that he can share the gospel with his village. And so that'll hopefully start in January. In just a couple months, they'll start going through those 70 lessons, and a church will be born there in Osmot. When we landed, so we went for a vision trip in Saman. We took the family in, and the second that we landed, Leah just started crying. I was like, what are you crying about? You know, it wasn't that scary. And she said, you know, no one knows. No one in America even knows about Saman. No one even cares, you know, about Saman. But the Lord cares. You know, Jesus knows that Saman exists. Jesus knows about the Osmot people. And he purposed for them to hear the word of God, to have people come and bring the gospel into them. And it's just crazy to think about the millions of people living in isolation around the world that have never heard the unreached people groups, UPGs. We even have an acronym for it, UPGs. And we have no idea, all of them. Maybe we know a couple by name, but Jesus knows every single one of them, knows their face, knows their name, knows the food they like, knows how many hairs they have on their head, and he cares for them deeply. And he died for them. He loved them so much that he died for them, just like he died for you and me. You know, he loved us. You know, we say that all the time. Oh, yeah, Jesus loves us. But Jesus loves you personally with all your thoughts. You know, there's a song we sang this morning. It's like, you know my thoughts, and you know, and he knows every single thing you think, the good and the bad, and he loves you. So, and he loves, yeah, he loves the people in Saman. So we'll go on to the next slide. And, this is a group of National Church, people that I was able to fly to a conference. And I want to share a little bit about the difficulties that the National Church is having on the South Coast, specifically of Papua. They face unique challenges. So Papua is considered the Christian island in Indonesia, because missionaries since the 60s, 50s really, have been bringing the gospel into Papua. And there's so many different tribes, 250 languages. When you say 250 languages, it's not like, you know, it's not like Pastor Danny talking to Mary, you know, someone from Alabama talking to someone from New York, you know. It's like someone from France talking to, you know, a Bushman from interior Africa. You know, it's like, you know, some of them have intonation languages, some of them have clicks, you know, some of them have, you know, just words, and every 250 languages, if they talk to each other, they can't understand each other. So, in the 60s, the Dutch government split Papua into the north and the south, and they said, okay, Catholics, you can go take the south coast, and we're Protestant, that's right. I hope we're Protestant. That would be really awkward. Protestant take the north, and so the Protestant missionaries came from the north, and the Catholic missionaries came from the south, and they have been, you know, since then, they have been kind of fighting with the Catholicism, and now Islam is coming up from the coast as well. And so they struggle with isolation, like we talked about earlier, financial hardship. A lot of these denominations were planted by churches who have since left them to autonomy, which is great. But when, you know, you have all the money from the West flooding in to help you with your outreach, and then all of a sudden you get autonomy, and you have to start funding yourself, it's very difficult. So they have financial difficulties, and the church is becoming more and more marginalized. And, you know, they're dealing with differing ideologies. It's easy for them to fall into what's called syncretism, where the gospel is kind of mixed with their beliefs earlier. And so you can be praying for them. One of the things that we've decided that we're going to do is we're going to start helping them financially with the flights that we provide them so that they can be, they can overcome that isolation and start to work more freely and in a better, in a more efficient way. So the next slide, I believe, is the last slide. So I just wanted to share kind of with you, this is 1 year of flying. So you can see that the float plane, we reached the whole island of Papua. And we're very specialized. We're the only float plane in Papua. But this is kind of, you can see we go all the way to the south, all the way to the north, and as far, pretty far west. So we're all over serving Papua, you know. And I want to thank you guys for your support of us, that we are in this together. And I pray that that when we're all in heaven one day, that you will meet some men and women who have come to know the gospel through your investment. And, you know, that you'll see, you know, now it seems like such a small thing that you do, to, you know, write a check and support a missionary, or a mission or a ministry. But you are investing in the kingdom of God. And one day you will meet the people who came to know Christ through your, support. And so, I want to thank you for that and just praise God for you. But thank you for your time. I'm going to close in prayer now. Father God, I'm just so grateful to be here. So thankful for a patient people who sat through such a long-winded report. Lord, you are so great. Your kingdom is so vast that we can't even grasp it. Lord, thank you that you've allowed me to be a window this morning into what you're doing on the other side of the world. Lord, I pray for the people who will receive your gospel through the people here, through their investment in the kingdom of God and through our work together. Lord, to just thank you for the opportunity, and just ask that you would go before us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.